Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia Togba. It is so good to once again have you with me for this episode of A Year in the Word. Today, we're reading from 1 Kings chapters 5 through 9 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to arise on today and giving us a mind to be readers, hearers, and most of all, doers of your word. Help us along the way, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we find ourselves in very unpredictable, vicarious situations from time to time, and we need a Savior. Glory to God. We need the one who has promised us life and that more abundantly to show us the way. Lord, we don't understand the things that we see so much of the time, and we see that scripture is coming to life right before our eyes, and the words that you spoke yourself when you were standing on the ground in this earth, we're watching those words come alive in our generations, in our lifetimes. Oh, my God, we see so clearly that you're coming. It's soon. We see that it's very soon, Lord God. We see that things are being wrapped up and things are happening very quickly, and violence has taken over and men's minds are untoward. This truly is that untoward generation. Oh, Lord, but we humble ourselves before you, oh, God, that you might heal us, heal our neighbors, heal our families, Lord God, that they might be accounted as the righteous and not as those that you will put aside, Lord God, and count them among the wicked. Oh, my God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up, oh, Lord God, all that are surrounding us, all that you put in our hands, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, that you heal, oh, God, that you deliver, that you move, oh, God, every obstacle and every yoke of the devil, Lord God, let it be broken off right now in the name of Jesus. Every ancient evil, Lord God, that's trying to dig his heels in, Lord God, break his ankle, Lord God, and burn him up by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, move, Lord God. Move, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Everything that is not like you right now in the spirit realm, move, oh God. Everything that is not like you in the physical, move, oh God. Everything that has come against our purpose, oh Lord God, that your will be done in each and every one of us. Now, Lord, as we open up our eyes, Lord God, to the word on today in 1 Kings, we're asking, Lord God, that you give us knowledge, give us wisdom, give us understanding of your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand the things that took place in that day and what we are to learn from them, and give us a revelation, Lord God, even in this hour, directly from your throne. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We bless the name of the Lord on today. We give you glory, oh God. We give you praise and we give you honor, because you and you alone are God. You and you alone are our Savior. You and you alone is in control. So, Lord God, and we yield ourselves, we submit ourselves the best that we know how, Lord God, to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you might make our way before us. Lord, that you might direct our path, that you, Lord God, be our Lord, Lord God. Hallelujah, be our director, be our advocate, be our Savior. You are all those things and so much more, so much more, so, so much more. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit. I thank you, Lord, for remembering each and every one of us this morning. Oh, Lord God, and we bless your name. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to Jesus, my Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. We give him glory. Amen. We're reading from 1 Kings chapters 5 through 9 from the New King James Version of the Word of God. Amen. Please bear with me as I read. Having a little bit of difficulty this morning, but I know, amen, the Lord will allow us and the Lord will get us through this. Glory to God. Amen. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in the place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David, Then Solomon sent Hiram, saying, you know how my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to my father David, saying, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name. Now, therefore, command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians. So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people. Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the message which you sent to me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedars, and servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will float them on in rafts by the sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household. Then Hiram gave Solomon cedars and cypress logs according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. And he sent to Lebanon 2,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 20,000 who carried burdens and 80,000 who quarried stone in the mountains, besides 3,200 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies who supervised for who labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, and hewn stones to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gebalites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width 20, and its height 30 cubits. The vestibule in the front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the front of the house. And he made the house windows, and he made for the house windows, beveled frames. Against the walls of the temple, he built chambers all around. Against the walls of the temple, all around the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around it. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For he had narrow ledges around the outside of the temple, so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was on the right side of the temple. They went up by stairs to the middle story and the middle to the third. So he built the temple and finished it. And he paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar. And he built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high. They were attached to the temple with cedar beams. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. Solomon built the temple and finished it, and he built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards. From the floor of the temple to the ceiling, he paneled the inside with wood, and he covered the floor of the temple with planks of cypress. Then he built the 20 cubits room at the rear of the temple from floor to ceiling with cedar boards. He built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. And in the front of it, the temple sanctuary was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental buds and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone to be seen. And he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the temple with pure gold. He stretched gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary and overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was by the inner sanctuary. Inside the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. One wing of the cherubim was 5 cubits, and the other wing of the cherubim was 5 cubits, 10 cubits from the tip of one wing to the tip of the other. And the other cherubim was 10 cubits. Both cherubim were of the same size and shape. The height of one cherubim was 10 cubits, and so was the other cherubim. Then he set the cherubim inside the inner room and based the wings of the cherubim so that the wing of the one touched one wall and the wing of the other cherubim touched the other wall. And their wings touched each other in the middle of the room. Also, he overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the walls of the temple all around, both in the inner and outer sanctuaries, with carved figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers. And the floor of the temple he overlaid with gold, both the inner and outer sanctuaries. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood. The lintel and doorposts were one-fifth of the wall. The two doors were of olive wood, and he carved on them figures of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold, and he spread gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So for the door of the sanctuary, he also made doorposts of olive wood, one-fourth of the wall. And the two doors were of cypress wood. Two panels comprised one folding door, and two panels comprised the other folding door. Then he carved cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers on them, and overlaid them with gold, applied evenly on the carved work. And he built the inner court with three rows of hewn stone and a row of cedar beams. In the fourth year, the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the month of Ziv, and in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was finished in all its details and according to all its plans. So he was 7 years in building it. But Solomon took 13 years to build his own house, so he finished all his house. He also built the house of the forest of Lebanon. Its length was 100 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits, with four rows of cedar pillars and cedar beams on the pillars. And it was paneled with cedar above the beams that were on 45 pillars, 15 to a row. There were windows with beveled frames in three rows, and window was opposite window in three tiers, and all the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames, and the window was opposite window in three tiers. He also made the hall of pillars. Its length was 50 cubits, and its width 30 cubits, and in the front of them was a portico with pillars, and a canopy was in the front of them. Then he made a hall for the throne, the hall of judgment, where he might judge. And it was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. And the house where he dwelt had another court inside the hall of like workmanship. Solomon also made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken as wife. All these were of costly stones cut to size, trimmed with saws inside and out, from the foundation to the eaves, and also on the outside to the great court. The foundation was of costly stones, large stones, some 10 cubits and some 8 cubits. And above were costly stones, hewn to size, and cedar wood. The court was enclosed with three rows of hewn stones and a row of cedar beams. So were the inner court of the house of the Lord and the vestibule of the temple. Now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker. He was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill and working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and did all his work. And he cast two pillars of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. Then he made two capitals of cast bronze to set on the top of the pillars. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. He made a lattice network with wreaths of chain work for the capitals, which were on top of the pillars. 7 chains for one capital and 7 for the other capital. So he made pillars and 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around to cover the capitals that were on top. And thus he did for the other capitals. The capitals which were on top of the pillars in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits. The capitals on the 2 pillars also had pomegranates above, by the convex surface which was next to the network, and there were 200 such pomegranates in rows on each of the capitals all around. Then he set up the pillars of the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillars on the right and called its name Jochlin. And he set up the pillar on the left and called its name Boaz. The tops of the pillars were in the shape of lilies, so the work of the pillars were finished. And he made the sea of cast bronze, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. It was completely round. Its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits measured its circumference. Below its brim were ornamental buds encircling it all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The ornamental buds were cast in 2 rows, which it was cast. It stood on the 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, 3 looking toward the west, 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. The sea was set upon them, and all their back parts pointed inward. It was a handbreadth thick, and its brim was shaped like the brim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It contained 2,000 baths between the frames. On the panels that were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And on the frames was a pedestal on top. Below the lions and oxen were wreaths of plaited work. Every cart had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and its 4 feet had supports. Under the laver were supports of cast bronze beside each wreath. Its opening inside the crown at the top was 1 cubit in diameter, and the opening was round, shaped like a pedestal, 1.5 cubits in outside diameter. And also on the opening were engravings, but the panels were square, not round. Under the panels were 4 wheels, and the axles of the wheels were joined to the cart. The height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. The workmanship of the wheels was like the workmanship of a chariot wheel. Their axle pins, their rims, their spokes, and their hubs were all of cast bronze, and there were 4 supports at the 4 corners of each cart. Its supports were part of the cart itself. On the top of the cart, at the height of a half a cubit, it was perfectly round, and on the top of the cart, its phalanges and its panels were of the same casting.
On the plates of its flanges and on its panels, he engraved cherubim, lions, and palm trees. Wherever there was a clear space on each, with wreaths around, thus he made the 10 carts. Of all of them were of the same mold, one measure and one shape. Then he made 10 lavers of bronze. Each laver contained 40 baths, and each laver was 4 cubits. One each of the 10 carts was a laver. And he put put 5 carts on the right side of the house and 5 on the left side of the house. And he set the sea on the right side of the house towards the southeast. And Huram made the lavers and shovels and the bowls. So Huram finished doing all the work that he was to do for King Solomon for the house of the Lord. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on the top of the 2 pillars, the 2 networks covering the 2 bowl-shaped capitals which were on the top of the pillars, 400 pomegranates and 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network, to cover the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on the top of the pillars. The 10 carts and 10 lavers on the carts, 1 sea and 12 oxen under the sea, the pots, the shovels, and the bowls. All these articles which Huram made for King Solomon for the house of the Lord were of burnished bronze. In the plain of Jordan, the king had cast in clay molds between Succoth and Zaratan. And Solomon did not weigh all the articles because there were so many. The weight of the bronze was not determined. Thus Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold, the table of gold on which the showbread, and which was the showbread, the lampstands of pure gold, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left in the front of the inner sanctuary, with flowers and lamps and the wick trimmers of gold, the basins, the trimmers, the bowls, the ladies, and the censers of pure gold. The hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner room, the most holy place, and the doors of the main hall of the temple. So all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things which his father David had dedicated, the silver and the gold and the furnishings. He put them in the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Esanim, which is the 11th month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, that could not be counted nor numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their 2 wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the Ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from the outside. And they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the 2 tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priest came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon spoke, said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exacted house, and a place for you to dwell in forever. Then the king turned around and blessed the whole assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and with his hand has fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house, that my name might be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son will come from your body. He shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spake, and I have sealed the position of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel, and there I have made a place for the ark in which is the covenant of the Lord which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way and that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now I pray, O God of Israel, let your mouth come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord, my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple day and night, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, and that you hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place, and may you hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel, and they pray. When they pray toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head, and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When heaven are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflicted them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague in his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to their fathers. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward his temple here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all which for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to do battle against their enemies, whenever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of their enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, we have committed wickedness, and when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen and the temple which you have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgression which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servants and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. So it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees, from his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded to our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Then the king and all of Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in the front of the house of the Lord. There he burnt offerings, grain offerings, and the fat of the peace offering, because the bronze altar that was before the Lord was too small to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat of the burnt offerings. At the time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart, and all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for Israel, his people. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, and he had appeared to Solomon at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. Are your sons at all turned from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Now it happened at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, Hiram the king of Tyre had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress and gold as much as he desired, that King Solomon then gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Then Hiram went from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given them, but they did not please him. So he said, cities are these which you have given me, my brother. And he called them the land of Kabul, as they are to this day. Then Hiram sent the king 120 talents of gold. And this is the reason for the labor force which King Solomon raised to build the house of the Lord, his house, and the Milo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire, and had killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the city, and given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer, Lower Beth Horon, Baaleth, and Tadmor in the wilderness, and in the land of Judah, all the storage cities that Solomon had, the cities for his chariots and the cities for his cavalry, whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in all the land of his dominion. All the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, who were not of the children of Israel, that is, their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel had not been able to destroy completely. From these Solomon raised forced labor, as it is. But the children of Israel Solomon made no forced laborers, because they were men of war, and his servants, his officers, his captains, commanders of his chariots, and his cavalry. Others were chiefs of the officials who were over Solomon's work, 550, who ruled over the people who did the work. But the Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built her. Then he built the Milo. Now, three times a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he built for the Lord. And he burned incense with them on the altar that was before the Lord. So he finished the temple. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships as Zion Geber, which is near Elath, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Then Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, seamen who knew the sea, to work with the servants of Solomon. And they went to Ophir and acquired 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. I have read and you have heard from 1 Kings chapters 9. I've read and you have heard from 1 Kings chapter 5. through 9 from the King James Version of the New King James Version of the Word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and most of all the doers of his word, and sanctify the truth in our hearts. God bless you. God keep you, and God anoint you in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I hope that you will continue to join me in this journey through a year in the word. God bless you. Amen.